Welcome to the Self-Healing Journey podcast. My name is Carly.
And I'm Marina.
And this is going to be our first ever episode. So thank you so much for tuning in. We have some really, really great plans in regards to the kind of information that we are wanting to share. We are doing this podcast mainly to create a sense of community and Absolutely. To connect with our soul tribe.
We know you're out there.
What?
We know they're out there, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So we definitely wanted to create a platform for to share our healing stories, mm-hmm. To share other people's healing stories, give them an opportunity to share their experience.
Yeah, every healer has a story, so we just mm-hmm. want to listen to those stories.
Right. We also wanted to just create an inclusive, loving, and safe space for people that are going through their healing process as well as their ascension process. And their
spirituality. Yeah, it could be very lonely, you know, mm-hmm. and so we want everyone out there to know that they're not alone and you have a family out here.
Right, right.
You know, holding space for you and you're holding space for us. So we're here mm-hmm. together.
Yeah. And we're all going through it. We're all going through the same thing.
Yeah.
It might look different for everyone, but.
Yes. We are. And that's what we're hoping to capture too. Mm-hmm. How different it is. Mm-hmm. Not one path is the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we're just here to really provide guidance, be authentic and transparent and speak from our personal experience. We're also going to be doing channeled messages mm-hmm. for the collective. We want to give energy updates, share what we have been getting recently in regards to the channeling that we do.
Since yes,
we
are exactly.
both channelers and mediums.
It's starting to come back online, I guess, mm-hmm. after being dormant for a little bit, correct?
Oh my gosh, yeah, it's been dormant for a while. But yeah, it's definitely coming back for both of us.
Yes, so. For sure. So we're ready to share that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we also have other abilities too.
Yes.
We'll get to that eventually.
Definitely. So today we are going to be talking about our spiritual awakening.
And yes, fun topic.
Yeah. Where we really come from and how we started all of this.
Do you want to start?
Yes,
Let's do it.
So my name is Carly and I live in Southern California. This is where I grew up as well. I went through my spiritual awakening process, or it started 2 years ago in 2017. Mm-hmm. It was about August 2017 was when it really, started and opened up for me. Mm-hmm. So it was around that eclipse.
Yeah.
That big eclipse that happened in August, which was, I think it was like mid-August.
Yeah, the August. Was it the Lionsgate or no?
Yes.
Lionsgate is like, what, 8-8?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Something like that. I'm not sure. But yeah, so after that big eclipse, I knew that something profound was changing in my life. Something was happening internally. Yeah.
Were you always energetically sensitive?
Yes.
Okay.
I have always been energetically sensitive. However, I was never conscious of it. Mm. So as a kid, I was really shy. And I didn't like to be in a lot of social settings.
Right.
It was really hard for me to connect with others because I always knew that I was different. Mm-hmm. And then I felt really deeply too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always had these, like, abilities, and I think they definitely got suppressed. Is that the right word?
Yeah, yeah.
They got suppressed as a kid. So they opened up for me once I went through my spiritual awakening process. But before the initial awakening, I went through a major depression, mm-hmm. actually. So my awakening was in the fall of 2017, and that summer, I went through a really, really just heavy, dark night of the soul.
Yeah.
With depression as well. I feel like depression and dark night of the soul are very different.
Yes.
But they were both combined. So I was going through this experience where I didn't resonate with my job anymore. I didn't want to be in the environment that I was in. Mm-hmm. It started to become really negative, and I was getting really drained from it. And I was also just feeling this internal shift where my perspective was changing, and everything that I thought was and believed was crumbling down, uh-huh. I guess, or just getting reconstructed. And so I was in a long-term relationship as well, uh-huh. and it was great, but at the same time, it was shifting. My perspective was shifting, so I couldn't be in that relationship anymore. So I left my job, I left my relationship.
Wow.
And all in like within a couple months
wow.
of each other. And I distanced myself from a lot of my friends too. And I didn't know what was happening. But I remember I was so sad and so aww. Depressed. And I was going in a direction that I thought was fulfilling to me. So I actually went to school for dietetics and nutrition, uh-huh. and that's the route that I was going to take. I was also very much into holistic stuff too, but that came later. But yeah, that was what I wanted to pursue in my life. I wanted to be in the medical field and help people with their food and nutrition. And I was also really, really into fitness. Uh-huh. And so I had my own fitness account, fitness page, and I wanted to become a personal trainer. And so I was really, really going after it. And I realized in this time where I was having this dark night of the soul and I was depressed that it wasn't bringing me the joy that aww. I was seeking.
Right.
So it was just, it was very surface. The fitness industry I felt was just very centered around looks.
Right.
And so I wanted to bring joy and happiness and healing to people at a deeper level other than you can make your body look this certain way,
right?
Right. So I stopped doing that completely. Mm-hmm. I deleted my account.
Did you?
I did. I deleted my account and I didn't pursue the personal training and I left school. And
wow.
I was lost. I knew that's not what I wanted to do, mm-hmm. but I also didn't know what I wanted to do at the same time. So I'm just thinking about all of it, and it's just crazy how far I've come. But yeah, so I didn't have anything, and I guess everything just started to open up for me once I lost everything.
Uh-huh.
Like, you really have to break down in order to build up.
Right.
So once I let go of it all, that's when all of this started to flood in for me. So right. I was expanding my consciousness. I started looking into healing, and I started paying attention to my inner self
right.
rather than what was going on outside of me.
Yeah.
So I was opening up to meditation and uh-huh. really getting into that. And I had been practicing for a little bit, and I knew that there was something bigger. There was something bigger that I was about to experience.
Yeah.
And I remember I was somewhere looking out at a view right before this huge, I call it like the Big Bang,
right?
Like my inner Big Bang. right before this whole experience happened, I remember looking out at a view and I was thinking like something major is on the horizon.
You felt it coming.
I don't know what, but there's something. So I was practicing meditation. I was focused on my healing. And then that's when I met my twin flame.
Mm-hmm.
And that is another episode.
That's another episode.
Another topic that we can discuss.
Another 24-hour episode.
Yes, in a later time.
Yes.
But that meeting that person was a huge, huge part of my spiritual awakening and my healing process.
Like the catalyst, right?
Yes.
That started it all.
Yes, that was a catalyst that really started it all. So when I met that person, at that point, I started to have the premonitions, the dreams, and I was really starting to connect with the non-physical mm-hmm. realm. spirits and stuff. So when I had met this person, that's when they triggered all of my wounds,
yep.
all of the trauma, everything that I had been putting on the back burner was coming up yep. to be looked at mm-hmm. again. And so, yeah, from there, my process was so accelerated. Like, I was going through the lessons really fast, and I started to get into Reiki, mm-hmm. and I started getting into tarot, and I was, like, researching, you know, subconscious and consciousness and all of this stuff. I was reading more books and just doing a lot more research, and I came to a point where I realized that I was a light worker
right.
and a starseed, and that whole world opened up for me, and then I knew right then and there that my entire mission on Earth from when I was a kid was to help people
right.
and help people heal and heal the planet as well. And so I knew that I had a way bigger purpose right. than just what I was taught to believe that I should do.
And what did it feel like when you once you started to align? I think people need to know what it feels like.
It felt like I was coming back home to myself.
Yeah.
It felt like I was rediscovering who I was.
Yeah.
Because I had lived this life of programming and mm-hmm. self-limiting beliefs, and I was paying attention to what others were saying yeah. and what others wanted for me and, you know, society, family, whatever it was.
Right.
But I wasn't listening to what was going on inside of me, what my own internal dialogue was telling me. Mm-hmm. And so when I started to align with my purpose,
yeah.
that's when I felt the most fulfilled and I felt happy.
Yeah. And where are you at now?
Now, I am just focusing on spreading my message and helping people realize the light within them.
Yeah.
And I just want to spread love. So I now am a Reiki master. I did do the tarot readings as well. And I write blog posts on my Instagram page, which is Love Is Me 1111. And I'm just living a fulfilled life now.
Right,
and
it feels good.
Yeah, it feels really great. I'm in a really good spot. This whole spiritual awakening process is so beautiful, but it is so rough at the same time. It's just, it's like one thing after the next. And, yeah. you know, you get all these synchronicities and these dreams, and it's just like a whole new world has completely opened up.
But it feels like home.
Yeah, yeah. But it just, yeah, it feels like home. Yeah. It feels like, oh, wow, this is what I've been missing in my life.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. it's pretty crazy.
No, I totally get it. I think for my whole life, I always looked for home. And I just never, and it wasn't a physical place. It was, I don't know how to put it into words, but it was a feeling that I was looking for. I could never find it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, what is awakening to you? I mean, we talked about your awakening story.
Right.
What do you, what is it?
Could for you me, put it into words? What?
Could you put it into words?
I can try my best to put it into words. I don't think I ever could fully, but for me, a spiritual awakening is just remembering who you are, and it's a soul reconstruction.
Yeah.
Complete soul reconstruction. It's accessing levels of your consciousness that you're never able to access before.
Right.
It really is all about remembering the love. And that's all I have. I don't know.
I mean, it's something different for everybody,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just getting back to that oneness.
Yeah.
And focusing on your inner world.
Right. Instead of looking for the external influences.
Yeah, yeah. And a big part of a spiritual awakening is all about healing, too.
Yeah.
You have to fully heal yourself in order to really experience the world that or the universe that you truly desire to see.
Yeah. For me, it started maybe around 8 years ago. And just a small trigger warning, especially if you recently lost someone in your life, because it does involve someone's death. And it was the death of my dad. And that happened 8 years ago. And, you know, my dad was someone who tried to introduce me to meditation. Like, he was pretty awake. He was definitely starseed.
That's cool.
I mean, yeah, he talked about aliens all the time. And the time he talked about one time that they actually came to visit him, like these men visit him and they disappeared the next day. Like crazy stories like that, right?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, yeah, yeah, dad, yeah, yeah, dad. Like, you know?
You lunatic.
Yeah, I'm like, you're so weird. And then he talked to my friends about it. I'm like, oh my God, he's so embarrassing. And then he was great. I loved him. And he was definitely a soulmate. My father was a soulmate. Like, there's a romantic notion of what a soulmate is. I don't think soulmates are necessarily romantic. Anybody. It could be anybody.
It could be your dog.
Oh my God, my dog is my soulmate.
Yeah, my dog is mine too.
And my cat and my rabbit. But that's beside the point. So what ended up happening is that 8 years ago, I had to take my dad to the hospital. And he was very sick. And I thought he was fine. I thought, you know, we even talked about, hey, Dad, when you come out of the hospital, I'm going to go get you tacos. We're going to go get tacos. He loved tacos from King Taco here in Los Angeles. And so we talked about this, like, what he was going to do once he got out.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go spend, like, every night with, almost every evening I'd go to the hospital. Actually, I would go to the hospital twice a day in these 8 days. And I remember just sitting with him and just talking about everything. And he would tell me how much he loved me and how proud he was of me.
Mm-hmm.
And one morning, it was Saturday morning, that I got a phone call from the nurse at the hospital. They said, your father has been asking for you all day. Please come to see him. He's been wanting me to call you. And I got there and he wasn't himself.
Mm-hmm.
It was, he was very, like, out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just kind of anxious. My dad was a very easygoing, mellow person, and he was just very anxious. And something was wrong, and he kept asking for my mom, like, where's your mom? Where's your mom? You know? And I was like, Dad, you know, she's getting here. I think she was going to go to the supermarket or something, and so we didn't, what happened next, I would have never imagined happening. So he was just slowly, he was just kind of like just kind of running out of steam.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like not feeling well. And he was like, right now I'm a nurse. I'm a registered nurse. But back then I wasn't. I was just starting school. And what ended up happening is that I looked over to his O2 saturation. And the O2 saturation is like the oxygen that runs through your body, and it should be at a 95%. So that number started plummeting. Like the number just started coming down, you know, 86, 85, like it just kept going. It was going down into the 70s. And any sort of plummeting number at a hospital is not good.
Yeah.
And he started to muffle, like, help, help. Mm. And he held my hand. And I was about to go get help. And my dad was very weak at this point. And so when I was about to go get help, he grabbed my wrist and like tight, like the last strength that he had, he held me. And I said, and I looked at him and he looked so scared. And I don't think I ever saw my dad so afraid. And we locked eyes, and it's the first time I think we ever really connected. Like, I looked at him and I still didn't know what was going on, you know? And I looked at him and I was like, don't be scared. It's okay. And he was like nodding at me, like he was listening to what I had to say. And I'm like, don't be afraid, okay? He used to love the ocean and love the beach, you know? And because that's where he was raised. And I'm like, think of the ocean. Think of the, you know, think of the color blue. You're okay. You're okay. And he looked at me and we were like locked. And then eventually, like, his eyes just kind of, they left. His soul left his body. And I told the nurse, like, he kind of lost, consciousness a while back. And so they actually called a code. A code means, like, they come in and they do CPR. And so that could actually be very, very violent to watch because they're trying everything to bring him back to life. So they actually asked me to stand in the hallway. So I left in the hallway. And he was sharing a room with another couple, and they were Chinese. And this actually is important for the story. So it was a husband and a wife. So they actually asked the wife to step outside. And so I'm in the hallway, and I'm just like, wow, is this what's happening? Like, is my dad gonna die right now? And I remember this woman who, she spoke Chinese and I spoke English. We didn't speak the same language. She held my hand and we just stood in silence. And she looked over to me like completely, we completely understood each other. Like she just needed, she knew, this stranger knew that I needed support. And she showed up because I needed support because none of my family members were there. And I'm just like, oh, crap. And I remember like he was coming in and out. It sounded like they were bringing him back to life. I don't know. But in the hallway, I told myself, while I had a conversation with him, well, what I felt was a conversation with him, and I told him, I'm like, if you have to go, I won't be angry. I won't be mad. And then I felt like this huge peace, this feeling of peace. Like, it's not being at his bedside during his death. It's not what I thought it would be. Because, you know, at one point, you know that they're going to, parents are going to pass away. Right. My parents are older. So I knew that he was going to pass away, but it wasn't anguish or anything like that. It was just peace. It felt like peace. And, you know, that's when I never talked about my dad's death. Yeah. I always talked about his transition because he was very much about, he was very spiritual. So he talked about his transition, and I knew then that there was something more to this life, you know, and I wanted to, so that's when it kind of started for me, when I started to view death very differently, was when I faced death, the death of my dad. I'm just like, you know, I never really thought about it until that moment, and I was very afraid of it. And since then, believe it or not, actually, this is going to sound super weird, but you already know me. You already know how weird I am. But I actually do have communication with my dad. It's just that it's not, he's not in the physical, but the communication and the energy is still there, you know? And so he's very much part of my spiritual journey. He points me in the direction sometimes and actually became a medium because He opened it up to me because he was that person I would communicate on the other side. And I wouldn't be afraid to communicate with him. And, you know, he sends me butterflies. So, I mean, our relationship's still there. It's just different. And I think that's the first thing that woke me up to there's more to this life than what we have, you know?
Right.
So, yeah. That's when it first started. And then and then there's a lot of other series of things that happened. And the next part of it, which you mentioned as a catalyst, right?
Yes.
There's something that really just, when you start to, you have that dark night of the soul and you really start to look within. And that was a karmic relationship. It was very, very short-lived. It was like maybe, at this point, I started becoming more aware of karmic cycles. And the men that I was dating, almost after two dates, they were like, okay, I don't see a spark. You know, I don't, I...
Two dates, maybe?
Yeah, it took two dates.
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with them? they were super honest. These guys were super honest. After two dates, they were like, hey, they didn't waste my time, and I am so grateful for these men. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were super honest, like, I don't see this going anywhere, and so they would let me. They would just, you know, they would tell me, and I would say, thank you so much for the time you spent with me. I think you're great. You know, good luck to you. One guy in particular, let's talk about this guy. He was definitely a past life relationship because it was, you know, with karmic partnerships, like it starts like really intense.
Yes.
You know each other. And then it kind of comes crashing down really hard. So this guy in particular, we went on like a couple dates and it was great. But then at one point, he really triggered what I would say was a 17-year-old girl in me.
Mm-hmm.
And back when I was 17, I was in a physically and emotionally abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me feel a certain way to be in that kind of relationship. Like you feel not powerful, you feel powerless, and you feel unworthy, and there's a lot of stuff. And so I was over at this guy's house. And he wasn't really being mean. In retrospect, I mean, the guy was a dick. But at this point, like, he was saying certain things that were really triggering me.
Okay.
So I became, like, I was reverting back to the 17-year-old girl. And I'm like, why the hell am I being a 17-year-old girl again? And sure enough, it was, like, he triggered a wound in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up being like having kind of a panic attack at his house or trying to talk myself down from a panic attack. And he's like, no, don't worry about it. We're cool. Don't worry about it. I'll talk to you later.
Was this the second date?
This was the second date. Yeah, this was the second date. And
had to ask.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and this is actually when I experienced my first synchronicity.
Mm.
The book The Alchemist is really important to me. I always look for it like on shelves, at a thrift store. I always look for The Alchemist because I want to buy it. And sure enough, the first date that we went on when I left his house, notice how the dates, quote unquote, were at his house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Perfect setting.
Yeah, perfect setting. A guy's house. Yeah. Okay.
So you're a real winner if they ask you to come over on the first date. That's when you really know.
Yeah, what does that say about me? Like, okay, I'll be right over. Anyways, so the book The Alchemist was on his shelf. And I was like, huh. And so for me, that was like the first synchronicity I saw. Yeah. I'm like, okay, that just tells me I'm in the right spot.
Right.
I'm in the right spot.
This is meant to be.
This is meant to be. Oh, my God. This is the love of my life. Yeah. And then he never called me again. He totally ghosted me. He said he was cool, don't worry about it, and then he totally ghosted me.
Damn.
And that's when I started really reflecting, you know, like, why is it? At that point, I thought I had ruined something that was really good, but I didn't do anything wrong. And I'm like, what?
It's the love story of the 21st century.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. And so that's when I ended up, like, going into that dark night of the soul. Like, just really starting to question things and... why do I feel this way?
Yeah.
And for me, awakening is becoming conscious of your healing process. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I first started becoming conscious of my healing process. I really felt for a long time like the light within us, you know, because we all have a light within us. I really felt that it was very dim.
Mm-hmm.
And even at some points, it was completely out.
Right.
And I started telling myself, I kept getting the message, like, be your own light, be your own light. Mm-hmm. And I also got the message, like, even embers spark wildfires. Like, be the wildfire, be the fire. And that's when it started to kind of it just started to grow from there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been an amazing journey. It's not easy.
No.
You know? It's very lonely.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
But what I've realized, right, is when we met each other, you were probably the first member of my soul tribe that I met.
Yes.
How instant was the connection?
Oh, it was.
Like, okay, I know you. Instant. Hey. Yeah. Like, how soon before we told each other, I love you?
It was like.
But pretty
30 quickly. Seconds in.
Yeah, 30 seconds. I love you.
Yeah. Hi, how are you?
Hi,
my name is Carly. I love you.
I'm Marina. I love you too. it was pretty instant, and it was very much accelerated, right? Mm-hmm. Our growth has been very accelerated, and here we are, like, it's not even a year since we've known each other, and here we are starting our mission work together, which is spreading this, spreading this, like, beautiful message of love, activating each other,
mm-hmm.
and being there for our soul tribe, and we want to connect with our soul tribe, and we want to be what we are to each other, to them,
mm-hmm.
and we want them to connect,
right?
Because that's the way to accelerate this process,
mm-hmm.
and to support each other.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
that's my awakening story.
I like that you mentioned the whole relationship thing, because I feel like a big contributor to my awakening was the way that I, had relationships,
yes.
and how I handled that. So I grew up with a single mom,
mm-hmm.
and my dad was never in my life. And as a kid, that was really, really hard. I'm okay now.
Yeah.
But as a kid, it was really, really rough to not have that father figure around. And so I always looked to fill that void.
Mm-hmm.
And so as soon as I was able to have boyfriends and dates, I would just latch on. I would latch on to any person that would give me attention, because it was just making me feel like I was needed and I was wanted.
Right.
Even if it wasn't the right attention, you know, I still
craved it. Mentioning, like, before we mentioned, like, the external influences, looking outside of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, yeah, I very much would look outside of myself for validation, especially in boys. And so I was just the type of person to always be in a relationship. I would jump from one to the next in a short amount of time, too, and because I couldn't be alone.
Mm-hmm.
It was really rough for me to be alone. And so I had recognized the pattern. My last serious relationship, I started to recognize the pattern that I was in, the cycle that I was in.
Right.
And I was thinking to myself, like, damn, I've only been single for not even 6 months of my whole teenage years.
Really?
Yeah. My first boyfriend, I think, I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
And then, my last relationship ended when I was 21. So from 13 to 21, I had only been single for like 6 months.
Wow.
Totally.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was just the friend that always had the boyfriend.
Right.
And, it was fucking awful.
Which is weird because I'm the perpetually single girl.
That
could go 7 years single.
Right. it showed, you know, it showed that I didn't want to be lonely or didn't want to be alone. And so once I recognized the pattern and the cycle that I was in, that's when I realized, like, I need to be alone. I need to grow and leave this person and give them gratitude for the role that they played in my life. But it's time for me to finally discover who I really am.
Yeah.
And so when I did leave that relationship, that's when I started to connect to the universe and the universe inside of me. And that's when I really started to realize who I was.
Yeah.
And I started to accept who I was.
That's a big one. Mm-hmm. Acceptance.
Yeah.
Because and accepting where you're at too.
Right. Yeah. Cause I've always been a spiritual person.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had that. But once I was alone, I was able to embrace that side of me,
mm-hmm.
and to really go after it and pursue it.
Yeah. So just so you know, in the background, we have a studio audience.
Yes. My lovely dog Bella is making all kinds of noises over here because she knows that we're recording. She wants to be a part of it. So if you hear any sneezing or scratching or burping.
I ran out of french fries. I was giving her french fries earlier.
Or farting.
Is that what smells?
Oh, does it smell?
I think it smelled something. Okay.
Oh, it wasn't me, so. Anyway, yeah, we did feed her french fries earlier, so that might be it. But,
oh, poor Bella.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess what the important part of this episode is that if you're listening to this, you're either awakening, in the process of awakening, mm-hmm. awakened. Yeah. And so, you know, I think it's important to be kind to yourself. Yes. Because it's rough. It's not easy.
Yes. Patience.
Be patient with yourself, mm-hmm. and just breathe through it. Mm-hmm. I mean, could you think of any other advice for someone who's just starting off?
No. You know, it's funny. Someone just recently asked me that because they are going through their spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
They just recently opened up to it. And they asked me a piece of advice. And
yeah.
I told them that just take it a day at a time.
Yeah.
Be really patient with yourself.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of breakdowns.
Right. Because you got to break down to break through. Yes.
Exactly. There's going to be a lot of triggering.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that you thought was healed is going to come back for healing. And it's all about, there's like pockets of really rough times. Mm-hmm. But then when you get out of it, there's like just pure bliss on the other side.
Yeah.
And so you go through these little waves of being really low and then going really, really high.
Right.
That's all a part of the ascension journey too, is
and we want to help people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I mean, what we're doing is not unique. There's a lot of spiritual teachers out there, you know, but we want to connect to our soul tribe, and mm-hmm. we want to connect to those listeners that it's going to resonate. Because mm-hmm. some of the stuff out there does not resonate with you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There's a lot of fluff.
A lot of fluff, mm-hmm. and a lot of pandering. It's like a lot of spiritual teachers are only saying what they want you to hear.
Mm-hmm. Or just the good parts about
I get it, love mm-hmm. and light, but there's also, you know, darkness and shadow that you have to work through as well.
It's all about a balance between the dark and the light, and if you're not embracing the dark, then you're not truly doing the work.
No,
you're not.
We're not for spiritual bypassing.
No,
like
no.
Replacing negative thoughts with positive thoughts. No.
Mm-hmm.
The only way is through.
Yeah, fully embodying that negative side of you. Not negative, but that darker side of you.
Darker side, your shadow mm-hmm. aspect, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So, let's see, what else can we talk about here?
I mean, we got a lot to talk about. We just got to decide how we're going to split this up, because it's a lot.
There's so much information.
There is. But, we'll try to break it. We'll try to break it down.
Yeah, we always try to be as authentic as possible. I feel like sharing our experiences and our stories is going to activate something within you.
Yes.
And you might not even know or be conscious of what that is, but it's all about planting a seed. The seeds that you plant have such a great impact in the future timelines, and they are really, really powerful. So don't underestimate
yourself.
Yes, yourself and the seeds that you plant for others.
Exactly.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, yeah.
I think we got it all.
I think so.
There, like you said earlier, there's so much to talk about, but
down to the dog farts.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, those are the best. And that's a huge part of spiritual awakening. They really give you a new perspective of life. All right. So we're planning on doing quite a few episodes.
Yes.
We want to talk about everything spiritual.
Yeah. Everything spiritual and magical. Yeah.
Does that make sense? Spiritual and magical. Yes. So we want to talk about energy updates. We're going to give those. We're going to talk about, you know, alignment and manifestation, tarot, mediumship, non-physical stuff, chakras, energy healing,
Because if there's an energy healing out there, it's something we've already tried.
Yeah,
We might as well just talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's see what the right fit is for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let us do it.
Yeah. And then we also just want to talk about healing, and we want to share other people's stories and get their perspective on it. And
we want to get people to interview, because mm-hmm. we want to listen. We want to hear these stories, like how people become awakened and how mm-hmm. they start their healing.
Right. Yeah. So we're going to talk about triggers and past life trauma and early life trauma and all of that great good stuff.
So where can they find us?
So you can find us on our website, theselfhealingjourney.com.
Yes.
That is going to have all of the episodes posted as well as blog posts. All of our links to our social media are on there as well. So we have Instagram and YouTube, both at The Self Healing Journey. And then we also have a Facebook, which is at The Self Healing Journey 1111. That will be more of like a community space for people to share, and we'll have a conversation on there. And then the episodes are going to be posted on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Google Play, and of course our website.
Yes.
So yeah, stay tuned for some really, really interesting, great conversations. Yeah. Really, really excited about this.
I know.
And
I just like to talk.
Yes, I love to share. So yeah, I really, really hope that we're able to help you find your light and your healing, and
yes,
we just want to create a space of love here. Yeah. So we love you so much.
Love you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Sending you lots of love.
Yes. Be kind to yourself.
Be kind to each other.
Yes. And we will see you in the next episode.
See you next time. Bye.